From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. We're joined by Lincoln Snyder, the superintendent of schools, executive director of schools.
Here, yeah, I have both on the business card just because people say, what's an executive director of schools?
Yes. Well, good to have you with us. Although the subject matter is very hopeful, even though it's coming out of tragedy. And it makes me proud to be Catholic and to be associated with an organization that's doing what you guys are doing right now.
Well, thank you. We're of course a large diocese that includes all of Butte County, and so a lot of our brothers and sisters have been displaced by the campfire. As schools have been looking for a way to help out, and so we have decided to offer up any empty desks we have at our schools free of charge to kids who have been left homeless by this fire.
So, in Oroville itself, Paradise itself, Paradise, a town of 27,000-28,000 people, a little bit bigger, I think, than a lot of people thought it was. You know, they heard of Paradise, and they're not sure where it was. How many schools were destroyed?
I don't know the number of schools, but I spoke with the superintendent of Butte County Public Schools, mm-hmm. from the County Office of Education, and so 3,200 public school kids, 825 public charter school kids, and then the children of two small private schools don't have a school to go back to. And so it's really been a number of people affected by this.
What about kids even in home that were being homeschooled? You know, just in terms of displacement, there are probably some sort of an uncounted number of them as well.
Sure. I mean, we're talking at least 4,000 or maybe 5,000 kids who have been displaced. So it's a large number. And to your point, Bob, it was not a small city.
Yeah.
I think that in our minds to think of a city of 30,000 being leveled within a day is a pretty astonishing thing.
Those of us have seen the picture. I mean, we saw it first in Santa Rosa, neighbor. You know, those of us who live in a city, I mean, you can kind of imagine an urban area, or maybe you're living in the hills and a cabin in the mountains or something. But to see whole cities just, and it happened in Redding, it happened in Santa Rosa, and then to none of those as devastating as what happened in Paradise, and just overnight, just instantly, it defies imagination.
Yeah, a colleague who got out showed us his cell phone video, and it really was dark as midnight. At 11 a.m. as they were stuck on the road, log jammed, and watching the houses and trees around them catch fire. I mean, it really was a very frightening and precarious thing for so many thousands. I mean, it's a tough situation. So, yeah, we started talking, what can we do to help? Knowing that obviously there's been a tremendous outpouring of charitable giving through Catholic Social Services and then other groups, of course, like the Red Cross. But you know, really, I mean, people have been looking for ways to help. We just discussed it as a small group of principals and I that we do have desks, and knowing mm-hmm. that these families haven't ended up in just any one place.
Right.
It would probably be a good thing for us to offer those seats to kids who have been displaced for the fire. And so we put out an announcement saying that, those seats are open to children who have been displaced by this fire. We're not going to charge tuition from now through the end of the academic year. We'll do our best to provide them with things like uniforms and books mm-hmm. and backpacks if they've lost those. And we want to do this again without asking the families to have to pay for it. And we have been asking for charitable contributions through the Catholic Foundation to cover the expense of educating those children.
Right.
But we didn't want that to be a burden to pass on to families that have already lost everything.
Right.
So we're just not knowing how many kids would come and where they'd come and how much it would cost. We just decided to do what we felt was the right thing and make the offer and then ask people to help support these families as they come to us.
Do we know I haven't seen. I mean, we know about, you know, the one that attracted all the attention with the Walmart parking lot in Chico where people were camping out. But do we know? And then and a number of centers in Chico and Oroville and Gridley and places like that, just evacuation centers. But do we know where a lot of these children are?
Anecdotally, it seems a lot of the families had kin in other cities of the north, and so I hear of families in Red Bluff or Chico, sure, or Yuba City taking in their relatives from the Paradise area. Right. I'm sure there's many in the Sacramento area, but unfortunately, for example, we really haven't been able to find an email list of all the kids in Catholic faith formation at St. Thomas More Parish in Paradise,
sure,
and the deacon there and the parish staff have been working very hard to get communication out. So it's starting. They're essentially working their social networks and email chains and other groups to get a real sense of where people are. But everybody had to leave town so quickly.
Yeah, even those whose homes, the few that are still standing, they're not allowed back in.
They're not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we just decided to, again, make the good faith offer, not knowing where these families were, but knowing that school is such a stabilizing force in the life of a young person that, I mean, I can only imagine how scary it must be if you're 8 or you're 10 and everything you know is
everything's gone
and you've had to get into a car and drive to a new city and see your parents uncertain of the future. And so we just decided that we really wanted to have those families with us if it's the right thing for them. And so we again made the offer. We put out a release, which is on the diocesan website, in which we listed our schools of the north with phone numbers. We also listed the Catholic School Department phone number. So if anyone's listening and you find yourself displaced and not knowing where you're going to go, you can call us at 916-733-0112, the Catholic School Department here at the diocese, and we can hopefully put you in touch with a school that could accommodate your child. But
some of the schools you list are Mercy High School in Red Bluff, Notre Dame School in Chico, Our Lady Lourdes School in Colusa, St. Isidore's in Yuba City, Sacred Heart in Red Bluff, and St. Joseph's in Redding. If there are people displaced here in Sacramento, is that that's something they could contact the schools department and you could say, oh, we could accommodate you here or here or here?
Absolutely. We didn't list all the schools, but we have a total of 42 schools in the diocese. And we would love to try to help find a placement. We listed the North State schools just because it seemed to us that a lot of the families would have stayed up north. But if you're in the Sacramento area, please, by all means, call us and we can help identify a school near you that would hopefully have space. Same thing goes for Solano, so families that may have found themselves in.
There's got to be, probably in every city that we could name in the North State, there's going to be at least 5 or 10 people that, whether they're staying with relatives or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then the charitable outpouring has just been tremendous. We were, we did a press release and press event in Chico on Friday, and it got picked up by national media. The local stations in Chico came and covered us, so thank you to ABC and CBS affiliates in Chico for showing up, because CNN Headline News picked up the story, and we've been getting donations from all over the country to support these kids. So,
a clip of that is on the diocesan website?
I will make sure that there is one linked on the diocesan website.
Very good.
And we were picked up by the National Catholic Education Association, so they were kind enough to send out our press release to Catholic schools nationally the moment that we put it out. So that was, I mean, tremendously supportive. So again, we've raised some money already, and we know we're going to be asking for more contributions as we learn more about what exactly the need is for these kids.
So what, from a logistics standpoint, what's involved in this offer, which is a very generous offer? It's a little like inviting the whole neighborhood for Thanksgiving dinner. But logistically, all of a sudden is it something that's easy to accommodate, difficult to accommodate? What do you have to do on your end?
So what we'll do is put the families in touch with the principal as quickly as possible so the family can meet with the principal and tour the school. We know some of our schools may fill up, and we would have to then look for another
There's
school.
Some critical mass at some point.
Exactly. So, for example, St. Thomas the Apostle in Oroville, where we know hopefully we'll have families in Oroville come, but it's a small school with combo classes, and we can only hold so many.
Would they be allowed indoor? In Oroville, I'm sorry. I keep thinking. Yes.
Yeah. So, for example, if a family's in Oroville at St. Thomas the Apostle, we'd love to accommodate up to the point that we have filled the school, at which point we may not be able to, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Again, our hope is that we'll have spots for families that are looking for a placement for their kids.
Very good. Very good. And do you have any idea how many each school could take? I mean, they run relatively near capacity, I presume.
They do. And so, I mean, for a school like Oroville, it's anywhere from a handful of kids per classroom to a larger school in Sacramento where we might be able to take 20, 30, 40 kids. So,
Are high schools more challenging or less so?
Our Sacramento high schools are pretty full, though, for example, I just heard from Father John at Jesuit High School saying that they'd love to help out on this effort to the extent that they can. I know that at Mercy High School in Red Bluff, we could accommodate a number of kids at that facility and make it work, given our facilities and staffing. So, again, a lot of it just depends on the school. We made this as a blanket offer without wanting to discourage anybody from calling, and then we'll take as many as we can.
Has there been enough time lag that you've had any takers at this point?
Yeah, we've already had families visiting our schools and touring today, and so I know we'll have our first families on this program hopefully in desks today or tomorrow.
Wow.
And we are setting up our software so the principals will be able to simply process a quick little online application, as it were, for the family when they come up, and that way we here at the diocese will have the kids show up on our system as they enroll at the schools, and we'll get a better sense of where we are at in terms of ability to accommodate.
Were any schools or gymnasiums or anything around the area, were they used as evacuation centers?
Not with us. We know that a lot of public facilities were opened up, but we didn't, to the extent that I know, weren't using our Catholic school facilities to accommodate. I know we've done it in the past with other events, but it seemed that they had opened up some larger facilities throughout the area.
Yeah. Boy, this is... It's an incredible time, but this is a wonderful gesture, and again, it makes me proud to be a Catholic and be part of this diocese to see the outpouring, and it's not just because it's close to us and we can relate better, but to see many of us are frustrated. I think that what can we do? I mean, it's so devastating that. You feel like it's not enough to write a check, but in many ways, and we hear this over and over and over again, that's the most practical thing you can do, because the people on the ground who are actually going to administer all this, that's the most practical thing, is to have the resources to buy what's necessary, or we'd like to donate coats and food and all that, but sometimes that's not what's needed.
Yeah, the great thing about when people do donate money is that it allows the people helping on the front lines to get exactly what the family needs.
Flexibility.
Exactly. Yeah. Not that we're not grateful for things like coats, but are especially in an area like that where the families have been displaced, we don't know exactly where they are. It's not like they've gone to a central point.
Right.
Or it's not like we have a place to store a lot of goods, even when they are delivered north. For example, the reason that we've asked for families to... for donors to work with us in supporting these families is, we have some funds available and we're making the desks available, but we don't know what the need of the individual child's going to be when he or she shows up at our school. They might need a backpack. Exactly. They might not. They might need a uniform. They may not. And so we just want to be able to really respond to exactly what that family needs given their circumstances. And it seemed to us that the great thing about cash donations is that it allows us to do that.
And you did have the one Catholic school in Paradise that...
We did.
That closed.
It did. And praise be to God, it seems that St. Thomas More Parish was for the most part spared, as was the school building, which had been leased out to a public charter school. But they're not going to be able to reopen for a long time.
Sure.
And we know the Father Godwin and the parish are going to have some rebuilding to do regardless, because they did lose some... things, but we were very relieved to hear that the church itself seems to have survived the blaze.
With your contact with the Butte County Schools, were there if schools in other areas other than Paradise?
Yes, there were some smaller towns in the surrounding area that
Magala and some of those.
Yeah, that burned. And so I had a very nice conversation with their associate superintendent, who actually is a Mercy High School grad. And
oh, really?
So she was very grateful for us doing this and just asked us to stay in touch about how many kids we get and more or less from where, because again, they're trying to bring in trailers and reopen their schools as quickly as they can. And I know they'll be making announcements this week as well. And, you know, God bless them. They're just trying to waive every regulation they can
exactly.
to just bring in the portables and set up where they can in the area as close as possible to get the kids back into school as a class with their teachers. And so we see that they're really doing everything they can to accommodate these families too.
Are there teachers from Paradise that like they're just unemployed now?
Yeah, they're going to. So again, the Butte County Office of Education is doing everything they can to reconstitute these schools as quickly as possible to make sure that the teachers do know they've got a classroom to go back to, and the kids can stay with the teacher in that classroom. So we, of course, we support and applaud those efforts. It's going to take them time to do it. One of the reasons we got this announcement out is because we're already open again in Oroville and in Chico and everywhere else today. And Butte County needs some time to, they're staying closed for another week while they figure out the logistics of all of this.
Everything's closed?
Yeah. So all the public schools are closed in Butte County, as far as I know, because they need to have all hands on deck to figure out how they get facilities and portables and books and everything else and come up with their plan. So I fully sympathize with everything that they're going through. I understand the logistics, and they're really trying to pull off some heroic efforts on their own part to open up as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's just it's incredible, but it tests us. But this is when great things happen.
Absolutely, people. I was so touched by coverage last Monday at the Sacramento Food Bank. Every year they give away
the turkeys. Sure.
And they profiled a guy from Paradise who had his house burned down. He had lost everything, and he showed up to donate 2 turkeys.
Wow. Yeah.
So there's always someone that needs the help.
Yeah.
And so I think that people really use these opportunities to find their best self and set him or her free and answer Christ's call to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Yeah, I remember we heard this over and over again after 9/11, how in such a diverse city as New York City, and everybody coming together and being like true neighbors.
Absolutely, and we see it in the North. These are very tight-knit communities. And
yes, indeed they are, aren't they?
I love visiting our schools in the North just because the schools truly are communities, and they are everywhere. But, when you're in these towns of small to medium size where that school really is the linchpin for the community.
It's a focal point. Yeah, it's a unifying, and some of those families have been in there for 3 or 4 generations.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at a school like Our Lady of Lourdes in Colusa with a city of 6,500 people where the principal's been there, God bless you, Barbara, for 30-plus years, and father's teaching religion himself, and they've got small, tiny population and combo classes, but that school just is a beautiful, really art in motion when you see it.
Yeah,
when you see it up and running.
You know, I was reading an obituary yesterday in a local paper, and a woman who was 93 and all this, and it said she was married at Our Lady of Lourdes in Colusa. Her was a member of St. Paul's in Knight's Landing. The funeral will be at St. Isidore's in Yuba City. And I thought, wow, what a Catholic family. But just all these places in the North State that were all part of her life and her extended family's life. It was very, very touching to see how much the church was part of her life. Yeah.
Absolutely. So they're great towns, great communities. And as I said, we're just really looking forward to accommodating kids as needed and as we can. So if people listening would like to learn more, we've got all this information on the diocesan website.
SCD.org.
SCD.org. And we have a statement that we put out for the families, and then we have a statement that we put out for people who might be willing to help us in accommodating them.
Give the phone number again.
Sure. So the phone number for the Catholic School Department is 916-733-0112.
Very good. Lincoln, thanks for all you do. Not that you didn't have a full plate before, but you've really got a full plate now.
Well, it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to pull this effort together with the team and hopefully serve as many kids as we can.
Very good. Well, God bless your efforts. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Good morning. This is Sister Maria, and I'm the Formation Director for the Seminarians, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back on this beautiful day the Lord has made, and what a touching story from just opening all the Catholic schools throughout the Diocese of Sacramento to anyone who is affected by the fires. It's really, really impressive. Well, World Youth Day is coming up in Panama in January, late January. But if you aren't going to make it to Panama, you can go to a virtual World Youth Day right here in the Diocese of Sacramento. It's a call to all Catholic youth and young adults to renew their faith in Christ and prepare them for the work of the new evangelization that lies ahead. You're invited to join for an overnight pilgrimage in the Diocese of Sacramento at Trinity Pines Catholic Center for fellowship, prayer, food, and a celebration through a live stream to Panama for World Youth Day. This will all take place on Saturday, January 26th, beginning at 1 p.m. with a live stream to Panama, a celebration of the vigil, and featured on the live stream will be Bishop Jaime Soto, live from Panama. Also, Vince Nims, a Catholic musician and youth minister, will be in Colfax, and it all ends on Sunday morning. To sign up, and it's just $20 per person, food and lodging, go to scd.org/WYD for World Youth Day. Well, John Watkins joins us from Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. John, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I imagine you are a very busy guy right now.
We are very busy right now, just dealing with the disaster in the campfire in Paradise. And it is, quite frankly, very overwhelming right now, the needs that are coming from the community.
It's you know, and I know sometimes in these disasters they talk about donor fatigue kind of thing. Like, oh, well, that was last week. We're on to something else. And whether it's a hurricane and an earthquake, these devastating fires. I mean, it's unimaginable, and the how long it takes. I mean, we don't even talk, people aren't even back to paradise at this point. They're not even allowed to go see if their home's standing.
Yeah. No, I understand, because this disaster is really on par with Katrina.
Absolutely.
And as I understand it, the last case for Katrina was finally closed only a few years ago. That's over a decade. For some people, it took that long to get back onto their feet. It just takes a long time. And you're thinking about this particular disaster and looking at the devastation to the community of Paradise, it is going to be very challenging to get folks, get the community back to where it was at.
It affected 100% of the residents of the town, but in terms of the actual devastation itself, 90% at least, and the death toll just way overwhelming anything that any other fire in California has.
Yeah.
We've had some pretty bad ones in the last couple of years, and this one's just off the chart. And it's just it's mind-boggling to think of all the different needs. We just had Lincoln Snyder on from the Catholic Schools Department. The Catholic schools are in the area anywhere. If you're displaced and you need just give us a call tuition.
That's wonderful.
It makes me proud to be Catholic.
Me too. I'm very, very happy. And there is just so many things that the church in many, many ways are doing through our Catholic Charities, through our St. Vincent de Paul, through our parishes and through individuals in the parishes that are just stepping forward and doing heroic things.
Yeah.
I think this is an opportunity for us to really, for a lot of folks to just be able to live out their faith and to respond to helping people in need.
Yeah. There are lots of things we haven't even thought of that are needed.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And, you think of food, shelter, the very immediate things, and right. Obviously that's a huge undertaking. And then what about the kids going to school? And then what about all these people that are instantly unemployed?
Right.
I mean, you're trying to get back on your feet, and where are your feet?
Right. We are now in the beginning the phase. Of course, we're still in the first phase of the relief effort. And we have seen thousands of people doing the initial kind of what we call the intake with them, just finding out what their needs are, finding out how we're going to get a hold of them, and providing them direct assistance in the meantime, but then really getting ourselves ready for sort of the next phase, which is really the long haul, which is providing them, kind of accompanying them in this recovery journey. So going through, working through the insurance with them, the FEMA, getting FEMA relief, and how are they going to, getting reemployed or some kind of income, and how do they eventually get into a housing situation? And so we're going to be journeying with them now for quite a long time. And so that is kind of something that we're beginning to get organized for as quickly as possible. And that will probably be starting in the next, 4 to 6 months will be beginning, and that will continue on for many years after that.
Yeah, years, literally. So I know there's a registry of, who is missing. You report to, I can't find so-and-so. Is there any sort of registry where, there were 27,000 people living in this town, and is there any sort of registry saying, okay, where are you? Are you in Kansas with relatives, or are you in Chico in a shelter, or Gridley?
That's what they've been working on, and that's what we've also been working on, and because it takes a lot effort to just gather the information to see where people are. Is everyone safe?
Right.
And count people and what are your needs and how do we get a hold of
Maybe
you to respond to you?
500 in Sacramento.
Right. You know, exactly. And so they, whether they're in Sacramento or they're in Florida, at this point, hopefully, most of the people have contacted and gotten the ball started with regards to contacting the Red Cross and the FEMA and getting just being on aware that they were a fire victim and giving their basic information. And then that information really is compiled, and then eventually that information is then given to agencies like Catholic Charities, and then we follow up with those fire victims and to see how we can help them, and that's kind of the process.
John, I'm going to let you introduce our guest by phone, Judith Rojas.
Yeah. Well, Judith Rojas, like a lot of the folks that are involved in many of our parishes, she and the St. Vincent de Paul have really heroically stepped up. They've trained hundreds of volunteers in the Chico area to provide direct assistance in both in their parish but also in the disaster resource center in Chico. So, and Judith is the St. Vincent de Paul Society Conference President for Our Divine Savior in Chico.
Mm-hmm.
So is she on the line with
Judith,
us?
Judith, welcome.
I am. Hello. Thank you.
Judith, is Chico sort of ground central here for everything in terms of relief?
It apparently is because it is closest to the disaster area. So even if people have left the area, some are coming back in order to go through the disaster recovery center and get the help that they need.
So I mean, the fire came right to the edge of Chico, is that correct?
Yes, it did.
And how far is that from Paradise, 20 miles or so?
About that, yes.
Goodness gracious! You're talking about a fire. That's a big swath.
Yes, it is. I would just like to tell you what St. Vincent de Paul has done in just one day, if I could.
Yes.
We have been at the Disaster Recovery Center since it opened on Friday, November 16th, and we have just been seeing hordes of people coming by all day long. The center is open from 9 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, and we are always busy. Yesterday, for example, we did 205 interviews, and since Friday we have seen approximately 1,991 people.
Wow.
Our volunteers yesterday have put in 119 hours of service. And we wouldn't be able to do it. Our conference is very small. There are 12 of us in our conference. But without people coming forward from the community, we wouldn't be able to do this.
And what specifically are you doing?
What St. Vincent de Paul does, really, is intake information from victims about what their needs are now and what the needs are, what the needs might be in the future, because we are concerned with long-term recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So we take information from them, which we then share later on with the case management person, and in a couple of months we contact them to see what their needs are, how they are doing, and how St. Vincent de Paul might be able to help. Meanwhile, after every interview, we give a $25 gift card to Walmart, and sometimes there are families that, well, they can all use more than $25, but we have cards that have been donated to us, not given from St. Vincent de Paul National, that we can help those families with a little bit more.
So besides cash, gift cards are an excellent thing for people to donate.
Gift cards are a wonderful thing to donate because people that have been affected by the fire can go and purchase what they need.
Right.
We also give out hygiene kits to adults and to children, and the children's hygiene kits have little toys in them to kind of make them feel a little bit better.
Now, most of the people you're seeing, they have temporary shelter somewhere?
Not all of them, no.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the majority of them do, but not all of them. Some of them are in the street. Some of them tell us, when we ask where they're living now, they tell us they're living in their car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably more than anyone realizes are literally living in their car.
Yes.
Are there still evacuation centers open, you know, gymnasiums, things like that?
I think the evacuation centers that are open now are in Oroville.
Okay. The fairgrounds, things like that, nothing like that open?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So what are your needs? What can our listeners do that can help you there?
Well, if we have listeners that live in Chico, in the Chico area, we are going to be needing volunteers. Mm-hmm. FEMA tells us that the center is probably going to be open for another 2 months, so that our volunteers don't wear themselves out too much and too soon. We could always use volunteers. If they are interested in volunteering, they can contact St. Vincent de Paul through our Divine Savior Church and let us know that they are interested. They would have to do a training session. Mm-hmm. We have one training session tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at St. John's Church in their library in Chico. So we are doing a new training center session then.
How do they contact you?
They can contact us they can contact me. I'm the president, so I'm going to give my phone number. My phone number is 530-342-2676.
Very good.
Or they can contact our Divine Savior or St. John's Catholic Churches in Chico and tell them they want to get in touch with me. And
Judah, are you hearing things from some of the people who have suffered from this that maybe aren't obvious to those of us that are seeing this from afar in terms of their needs, in terms of their hopes?
They are just devastated. They're in shock. I was talking to one woman, and she was just sitting there with no look on her face at all, just lamely answering my questions. Mm-hmm. And when I asked her, well, how was she doing at this moment, she just started to cry, telling me she just wanted to go home.
Yeah.
She just wanted to go home. And then there are people that are so resilient, it's amazing that they're going through this tragedy with such courage. Children are being affected, and we don't know how they're being affected. They look fine, but, of course, their whole lives have been displaced.
Yeah, it's I hear that over and over from what I've seen, and that's just on the news and in the paper and things. And it seems that desire to go back, even to see the devil, just to, they've heard about it, they've seen the pictures, but to just go back and say, okay, this was my home, or this is where I worked, that gives it finality, but it gives it some perspective that even the victims don't have at this point.
We have to realize that almost 14,000 residences were destroyed. Almost 14,000.
Residences?
Yes,
wow.
13,972. Where are these people going to go? That is really the overreaching problem facing Paradise and those people right now, is where do they go? And how do they find a job?
Yeah.
If they were working in Chico, the commercial buildings are all destroyed.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church is still standing, but there's no... There, people aren't in the city to be able to go to attend Mass at the church.
Sure. So did a number of people from Paradise commute to work, like in Chico or Oroville or other places?
Yes, Paradise was a community of retirees, mm-hmm. but also of low-income persons that would work in Chico and live in Paradise because it was cheaper to live there.
Right.
So those people still have their jobs in Chico, but they have no homes to go back to.
Right. My goodness. Well, give that phone number one more time, if you would.
530-342-2676.
Very good. Well, Judah, thanks for joining us. Thanks for all you're doing up there, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again at your convenience in the near future.
Thank you for listening to us.
Thanks, Judith. God bless your efforts. Wow. John, it's phenomenal and these aren't people who just jumped on board the St. Vincent de Paul. They've been with us since the 1800s.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that haven't.
And there are a lot of people that have, and we're glad they have.
This is one conference, and we have 54 right. St. Vincent de Paul conferences, and there's conferences in Reading right. that are stepping up. There's conferences in Yuba City, and there's parishes, and the folks that are stepping up.
Right.
And we're only beginning to hear some of those stories that yeah. are coming forward. But the need is great. As Judith was mentioning, it is going to be a hard journey for all of us in this diocese to really helping our brothers and sisters in our own community here to get back onto their feet. It will be some time before we can see that happening. So I'm glad that we've begun the process, but we have to be prepared to continue.
Yeah, it's not, like you say, it's not a week or 2 weeks or even a year. It's many years. And have you been able to learn anything at all from Santa Rosa or Reading in terms of how to handle these kinds of things?
Well, we have learned so much since Katrina. I would think that that was a watershed moment
right.
when we were not ready. And I would say that all of us have continued to learn now with each disaster. And I say this in a national sense, but also here locally, we just recently had the car fire only a few months ago,
right.
and we continue to learn. And so it's the sort of the upside of all this is we're getting a little bit better. Unfortunately, we have to get very good at responding to these disasters that keep happening, and so I think we're better and more efficient at being able to help people. It is a disaster, truly is a disaster, and so you have to try to get very good at organizing mm-hmm. the chaos as soon as possible and making sure people are safe and going through a sort of the process till you could get to the point where you can find people into the housing that they really desire. So I think we've gotten a lot better at it. I think we're going to be learning a lot of lessons in this particular fire because we've never had to deal with something at this scope before.
I remember after Katrina interviewing people from the Archdiocese of New Orleans, the Catholic Charities there, and they said they specifically mentioned the St. Vincent de Paul and the Knights of Columbus. They said they descended from all over the country, that we couldn't have done it without them.
Very good. I'm glad you mentioned the Knights
yeah.
of Columbus, too.
Yeah.
They've really stepped up, and I think they really helped to undergird the efforts with the St. Vincent de Paul. I think
yeah.
they really joined
yeah.
together and became a lot of the manpower, if you will, that undergirds the work of St. Vincent de Paul in the Chico Conference. But I've seen them do this in other areas where sometimes there's a parish without St. Vincent de Paul, but the Knights of Columbus have stepped up.
Right.
So this is our DNA, hopefully, as Catholics. To be Eucharistic, to respond to the needs of the people, to be Christ's hands and feet. And right now is the moment when we have to step up and live our faith in practical ways.
Yeah, very, very well said. You know, in previous things, Katrina especially comes to mind, the FEMA trailers. We would see trailer cities. Is any of that happening?
Yeah, well, yes. We've talked about the FEMA trailers. We have been talking about that. I think at the higher level in the what they call the VOAD, they are talking about how do we kind of prop up some type of emergency housing? Are we going to do the trailers?
Mm-hmm.
This is a very tricky thing because the area of the fire in this disaster, it is very toxic. We
yeah.
have
yeah.
these are old homes. There's lead.
Which is why they're not letting anybody back in.
Exactly. So we have to be thoughtful about where are we going to sort of build these quote unquote
right.
tent cities or
sure.
these trailers. But this is kind of some of the things that we've been doing. Even with the car fire, we were putting people up in trailers.
Right.
And in fact, we were getting some of the trailers from the Diocese of Santa Rosa.
Sure.
So we were getting their help in that. But we're going to obviously need a much bigger scale at this point. So that is something I think that is being planned out as we speak right now.
Yeah, so I mean,
we'll have to find out more later.
The toxics that, I mean, I think of grocery stores and hardware stores and all the stuff, you know, do not dispose in the, you know, like chemicals and all. It's just all going up into the same plume and then coming back down.
Right, right. And we're really, quite frankly, of course, we know that people want to go see their place, yeah. but we're not encouraging that just right now. It's dangerous.
Way too dangerous.
Yeah. But I do understand that people want to see. They want to see and
I was watching an interview with one of the Cal Fire personnel, and he said, you know, we really feel, we know that people are just, they're let me back. And he said, you know, we understand that emotion, but we can't allow it. It's just too dangerous. You're going to have more deaths, you know, and even power lines still. I mean, the enormity of the problem is just, I mean, sure, there are things that I haven't thought of, that many people haven't thought of. Gee, I didn't realize that. We don't even know about water supplies and sewage and all those things. And then the outbreak of norovirus in some of the
right.
camps, you know, just it's miserable enough without having a disease like that, you know, that makes you so sick so fast.
Right. And with all these people living in a communal environment, it can be just very quickly. Yeah. So it's a disaster.
Boy, is it. Wow. So is there a central number where we got the number of things, and Paul, for our Catholic Charities here in Sacramento, explain how people can donate, and then where does that go?
Well, the easiest thing I can say over the internet is just going on to the diocesan website. If you go to www.scd.org,
right.
And then there is information about the fire right on the front page,
right.
and it does talk a little bit about how people can help. And as far as how the funds are being used, 100% of the funds that are collected for the Fire Assistance Fund goes to the relief and recovery effort
right.
on the ground. Our primary partners that we're working with is that are receiving these funds and then putting these funds to work are, of course, our Catholic Charities Agency in the North,
right.
Northern Valley Catholic Social
right.
Service, and St. Vincent de Paul Society. And there's multiple conferences that are going to be able to use these funds. In addition to that, though, we also have a number of parishes that they may not have a St. Vincent de Paul Society,
right.
But they do step forward, and they are helping to provide relief. And so we're also supporting some of them as well. So the funds are really, it's an efficient way for us to get to the funds where they're
right.
Best put to use.
And these, we're not talking about gift cards. We're talking about just cash. I mean,
this is cash.
Financial.
Exactly.
Donation.
This is for the direct relief effort that's
right.
going on currently. It is so we can buy gift cards. I think St. Vincent de Paul's already at least given away probably over $30,000, and the Catholic Charities is a good $20,000. I'm sure it's probably more than that now
right.
since I last checked. But then as we kind of move forward, we're going to need to hire people to continue to do the case management. And then eventually we will be housing people. So we're setting aside funds for what's called the Home in the Box program, which St. Vincent de Paul is involved in, which is when they're ready to move into the housing, getting them the furniture, pots, pans, uh-huh. cutlery,
right.
Everything they need to
right.
kind of get themselves
which is
situated.
What's something St.
Right.
Vincent de Paul is expert
right.
at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, the folks that receive that kind of home in the box are really the most needy. These are the
sure.
folks that generally don't qualify for insurance or other things.
Right.
Those are the folks that we sort of are going to be really keeping an eye on as the most vulnerable of this group. And there's a lot. And as Judith was saying, this is a retirement community. This is a community with a lot of folks that really were already economically on the margins and poor. So we have a lot of particular folks that we're going to be keeping a close eye on and trying to help them get restabilized.
Is there a role, and I know a lot of people say, I want to do something. I've written a check. I've donated.
Sure.
Is there a role for volunteers here?
Yeah. I'm like Judith said, they do need volunteers. The tricky thing is that what they really need is long-term volunteers, and that's hard coming from outside of the community. But there's been a lot of people that have come up and helped out at the recovery center from all over. Some of them have flown in and helped out for a couple of days, and it's been a very powerful experience for them. And it helps our volunteers, like Judith was saying. We're trying to avoid burnout because they are doing a lot of hours manning these tables and helping out people. And so there is ways to volunteer right now. I would say for probably the next month or 2 months, as we're kind of doing this initial relief effort, there's probably some good volunteer opportunities. Yeah. Good. And I would just call Judith.
Call Judith. Yeah.
St. Vincent de Paul. And our Catholic Charities is working very closely with the St. Vincent de Paul. And I think a lot of the volunteers that we will be working with will probably be coming through the St. Vincent de Paul. So I think we have a great relationship. So that works really wonderfully.
We know we have a thrift store here, which they do help very much. 275 Watt Avenue. Do they have a thrift store too in the north? Do you know?
Well, yes, they do. Although I would say that it's better not to send items to the disaster area at this point because there's just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But if you are able to identify an organization in the area, in Chico, that can take the items, by all means, you can send
somebody
it. But just
soliciting those
just
items.
Make sure that they're able to take that because the area has been flooded with lots of different donations and many
sometimes
agencies.
Stuff they can't use.
We get overwhelmed because there's a lot of items, but there's no place to put the items. Right. So, so I would just be cautious about that. And for a lot of folks, I say if you do give to your local food banks or you give to your local clothing distribution places, they're the ones that actually can be very helpful. If there really is a need, if a food bank in the Paradise area can call the Sacramento Food Bank and say, hey, we need some food.
Right.
Okay. So they know how to move the food
exactly.
In a very efficient way.
Exactly.
So there is systems in place for that. But so I would say cash and gift cards are very helpful, as Judith was saying. Right. And the gift cards can be sent either to the St. Vincent de Paul Society at Our Divine Savior, or they can go to Northern Valley Catholic Social Service in Reading. Either way, those gift cards will be put to use to help people.
Very good. And the Bishop's Corner, is that's online?
The Bishop's Corner is connected to the Catholic Legislative Network, and it is online.
California Catholic Conference.
It's run by the Catholic Conference. It's just a way. It's a video editorial that the bishop does every month, just to have conversations with people about important moral issues of the day, and a conversation format, just to help to A, inform people, and B, to get them engaged. So every month we have the Bishop's Corner. It goes out through the network. It goes up onto the website, and it goes out through social media. So right now the messages have just been, we just had our Thanksgiving message. So we have a couple of messages. We have a Christmas message coming up. But in January, we will be talking about human trafficking. January is, of course, we reflect on Roe v. Wade on the anniversary, but it's also Human Trafficking Awareness Month.
Right.
So this month we're going to talk with some folks involved with the work of human trafficking and trying to fight against human trafficking in our community, and so we'll have a conversation about that.
And you can sign up for the Catholic Legislative Network and get all their releases online.
That's right.
Yeah.
www.cacatholic.org.
Yeah, and then they'll go through 5, 6, 7, 10 different issues of the day. From the legislature to just ongoing things.
That's right.
John, thanks so much. I feel lucky to have gotten half an hour of your time.
Thank you, Bob. It's always a pleasure to come talk to you.
You too.
Anytime.
Thanks so much, John. That's John Watkins, the Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They are at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, marriage and family therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Refuge in the storm.